It's always very strange to come back here after 35 years, but it's always a great blessing. And the first thing I would like to say to you is, Sylvia and I would like to thank you all for your prayer and your financial support for the ministry that God has called us to at this point in our lives. And I wanted to just take a minute before I share the message I wanted to preach to you this morning and just tell you one aspect of something that has developed in the last year or so in my role as chaplain of Interaction. The director has asked me to share a portion of scripture with the staff of about 10 people. And these people live all over the country, so we do this online every week. And it's really like what I've realized is it's kind of a mini Bible study that I do with them every Tuesday when we have staff meeting. And the first 10 or 15 minutes of our meeting together is talking about various portions of Scripture that the Lord gives me. And they share their response and things that God has been doing in their lives. So that has probably been one of the most, I think, significant things that I've been doing in my role as chaplain on that level. And the next thing I wanted to do this morning, before I share the message on God's chisel, which you probably wonder what in the world that is that Stefan asked me if I would just share a couple of things in terms of things that God has done in my life that have been enormously significant in terms of who I am and the place that I'm at this point. And I will be 82 on Election Day this year, which I realized that it's hard to know what is going to happen this year and the result of it. My concern is I don't think it matters who gets elected. I think we're going to be looking at some very difficult things in this country in the days ahead. So my hope in sharing what I'm wanting to share with you this morning will help you to think about where you're at with the Lord and what the Lord is desiring to do in your life. And many of the things that I'm going to share are the kinds of things that God has been speaking to me about and showing me. And I basically have four things quickly that I want to just share that's happened in my life that I see as being very critical to the way God has worked in my life. The first thing happened after I graduated from college. I became a Christian at 17. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I met the Lord at a Christian camp that somehow the Lord got me to. I can't even remember exactly. I remember who it was, but why I went there, I'm not sure. But then I went to Houghton College and graduated and went to Florida State University to get a master's degree in social work. While I was at Florida State, thinking that I'm getting a master's degree to be a social worker, the Lord spoke to me. First time in my life that He actually did that. He has done that several times since then, but that was the first time. And the Lord said to me, "You're going to be faced with every religion and philosophy known to man here, and you are going to need to understand Scripture. So I want you to read a chapter from the Old and New Testament every day." And I was not a very disciplined person at that point. And that was a real challenge to me, but I realized that it was important. And so that is something I have done for the last 60 years since beginning to do that. And that has, in many ways, been probably the most important truth in terms of how I look at life and how I live it. And so I guess the point I'm making with that is the Word of God has got to be what is enormously important to the way you think. You have to believe that this is God's Word, and you have to obey it. The second thing that happened to me was a couple of years later, and one of the things I realized, I never got my master's degree in social work, and I won't tell you the story of all the things that happened, but I actually got removed from Florida State, and I've realized when I look back on my life what happened, that was why I was at Florida State. It wasn't to get a master's degree, it was to get into the Word of God. The second thing that happened was he took me to Washington, D.C., where I taught in an African-American school in the inner city of Washington, D.C. for a couple of years. And during that period of time, I began to be introduced to the work of the Holy Spirit in a way that I had never known. And at one point in that time, and the point I want to communicate to you was during that two-year period, as I was seeking the Lord, I had a longing to be with Him and to allow Him to show me anything He wanted to show me, anything He wanted to do in my life. What that led to, in my experience, was experiencing the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Now, that sounds maybe strange to you, and maybe it doesn't, but in any case, that experience was enormously important in the next phase of my walk with the Lord for so many different reasons. And then the third thing that I wanted to share with you is what He has led me to at this point in my life, which began when the youngest of my six children left home, and we had an empty nest, and the Lord said to me, I had always been someone that had a prayer list, and I would pray for maybe 100 people every week, and the Lord said to me, I'm going to show you a group of people I want you to pray for every day. And for the last 20 years, I have spent 3 to 4 hours in intercessory prayer every day. Now, I tell you that not because God calls most people to spend that kind of time in prayer at one time. But obviously, prayer is the third thing that is extremely important in our walk with the Lord. And that's the reason I share that experience with you. And the fourth thing that I wanted to share before I talk about God's chisel is basically, if you want to be used of the Lord in touching the lives of people, you just have to care about people. You have to be willing to listen to them. You have to build trust with them. You have to care deeply. And if you're in the Word of God, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life, and that doesn't mean that you will speak in tongues, but that you are desirous of whatever the Lord wants to do in your life. That was what He knew I needed. And that's why I experienced that. And if you are taking prayer seriously and you are caring for people, I believe God will use you. Now, that leads me to my thinking about God's chisel. And the Lord brought this to me back several months ago. One day, I was thinking about the areas of life that God needed to work on in my life. And I came up with 6 different things, and the word chisel came to me. And so, if you think about the letters of chisel, these are the 6 things that the Lord showed me that I want to share with you this morning. The first one, and if you've got your Bibles and want to watch or read this with me, I use the New American Standard Version, so it may not be exactly what your version says if you use the NIV. But in Matthew 18, verses 1 through 4, Jesus says something which I want to try to describe for you what, for me, is extremely important. And that is childlikeness. And as you read this, think about that. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What that said to me was, God longs for us to have a childlike spirit. That doesn't mean childish. That means childlike. And that is what I see Jesus saying here, is what is enormously critical in terms of what we communicate to people around us. So that's the first one. That's C of chisel. H is humility. And a number of years ago, I began to realize that so many problems are caused by people that aren't just simply humble before the Lord. And I want to strongly encourage you to desire that to be true of you, and you know what it says in Matthew 11:29, how Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And basically, with a humble heart, walk with the Lord, basically, is what he says in Matthew 11. But what I'd like to read to you, which is also a very important portion of Christian scripture, which most of you know, but I just want to reemphasize this, is in Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8. "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." I found myself realizing that actually God himself is humble. He is great and almighty, but he is also humble. Jesus demonstrated that when he came and lived the way he did. And that is a challenge for some people. But if you allow the Lord to break you and work in you, that will be a quality that should characterize your life. The third thing is I, which is integrity. And I want to just mention three different verses in a psalm that I call the Psalm of Integrity, and it's Psalm 15. And in Psalm 15, basically David says, in the first verse, "O Lord, who may abide in thy tent, and who may dwell on thy holy hill?" But the first verse that's important is verse 2, "He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart." But then down in verse 4, the last part of verse 4 is a phrase that helped me understand what true integrity is. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. That means we have to be willing to face difficult things, and that's what my understanding of what David is saying here. Swear to your own hurt. Be willing to face situations that are painful and difficult to honor the Lord. Whatever they may be, they come in all kinds of different ways. And the second part of that verse says, and he does not change. One of the issues for many people is they will make a commitment, but it gets very difficult, and they change their way. They are not willing to stay committed to it. And I believe that is an element of real integrity, which clearly all of these things that I'm sharing right now are part of the very nature and quality and attitude of the Lord Jesus. They all are things that he gave great evidence to. And then I love the last verse of Psalm 15. He who does these things will never be shaken. And that's a promise that God has given us if we're willing to live with integrity. So that's I. And personally, I've felt that, generally speaking, I have done fairly well with those first three. But the last three, not so much. I have really struggled with them personally. But I want to share especially a parable that Jesus tells in Luke 17 that blew me away when I first really saw it and understood what I felt Jesus was saying. And that is servanthood, truly being a servant. And you may not know this parable, or you don't maybe not have thought about it much, but it's a parable that really helped me realize what needed to happen in my life. And it goes like this, starting with verse 7. Jesus says, but which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But will he not say, prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me until I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? And the first thought that came through my mind when I read that was, most men anyway, when they're out working all day and they come home, they just want to relax and watch television or read the newspaper or do something comfortable. They don't think about serving at that point in time, and yet that's what Jesus is talking about, that kind of a heart attitude. And then he goes on, and it gets tougher, because in verse 8, he says, I didn't read verse 8, but that continues the end of verse 7. But verse 9 is the one that says, he does not thank the slave because he did the things which are commanded, does he? And I found myself thinking, when I try to serve people, when I try to do things for my wife that I feel are helpful and things that I would not normally do, I at least kind of hope to be thanked for doing it. But Jesus said, no, if you're a true servant and a true slave, you're not going to be thanked. It's just something that you need to do. And then he concludes it in verse 10, and he says, so you too, when you do all the things which you're commanded, you say, we are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. And so on top of not being thanked, we need to recognize that we are unworthy. We can never forget that. And so that portion of Scripture, and you can think of many others that talk about being a servant, and that is something that I've really struggled with in many different ways. But I am doing my best to make it more of a reality in my life. So that is S of chisel. E is a word that is also one that I find great difficulty with, and that's endurance. And I'm reminded of a verse in Hebrews 10:36 that simply says, you have need of endurance. And I remember when I first read that, I went, oh boy, is that ever true? And of course, endurance is being willing to stay with something, very similar to what integrity is, but is things like perseverance. Another verse of Scripture that has meant a great deal, and I know you just pretty much finished studying the book of James. James 5:11 is an amazing verse to me. James says, Blessed are those who endure, and consider the endurance of Job and the outcome of the Lord's dealings in his life. For the Lord is merciful and compassionate. And what that tells me is it's very pleasing to God when we are willing to endure difficult things. And if we have difficulty with it, remember Job and remember not the dealings, but the outcome of the dealings. The dealings were the three toughest things any man can face. And the outcome was that God blessed him doubly. And never forget that God is merciful and compassionate. And so that is the important aspect of endurance. Patience is another way to think about that as well, which is not something that often we struggle with. And of course, the last thing is L, which is the love. And obviously we don't need to talk about that at all. We know that God is love. We know that he wants us to love others. And fundamentally, I believe all six of these things are an aspect of truly being able to love as the Lord has equipped us and designed us to do. And so that, from my vantage point, is God's chisel. It's a way to remember the six things that I feel personally are things that need to characterize our lives. And so those are the things that I wanted to share with you this morning. And I really felt like there was some reason I was supposed to come and preach this morning. And my desire is that these truths will be things that you will think about in terms of where you're at in your walk with the Lord and what he is longing to do in your lives. And I realize that you all come from very different backgrounds, have had very different experiences in many different ways. There are many mysteries in life that we don't really understand. But if we truly have a heart for the Lord Jesus and want to have a love relationship with him, it is the most important thing we can do. And then I wanted to leave you with one last thing that I want to ask you to be praying for me about, which is something that has developed just in the last month. And let me tell you just a little quick background on it, because this is something I think you might all find interesting and helpful. It has to do with the heart, the spiritual heart, not the physical heart, the spiritual heart. Back 40 years ago, I remember I'd been reading through Scripture for several years. It had been maybe 4 years. I'd probably been through the Old Testament once and halfway through the Old Testament and once through the New Testament. And I came across a verse in Proverbs 4:23. And it says, in my translation, guard your heart with all diligence, for from your heart proceed all the issues of life. And when I read that, I thought, man, that speaks some important things about what goes on in our heart. So for several years, I would highly underline the word heart. I've been using this Bible for 50 years, and I have so many things written in it that it's falling apart, but I want to continue to use it. I added up how many times the word heart is in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You could maybe think of a number. I added up 832 in my translation. And whenever God repeats something, it's usually very important. I think of Psalm 136 that ends every verse with, "Thy loving kindness is everlasting." 26 times he says that. That's an important truth to remember. So what has happened in the last month is I have written down every one of those 832 verses to see what really goes on in the heart. And what I've found is something I always used to think was true, that our soul contained our mind, emotions, and will. Things that we think, things that we feel, good or bad, and decisions that we make. What I'm finding is much of that goes on in the heart. Now, we don't really know where our soul or our heart are located. They're not really a thing. They're evidence of who we are and what is important to us. So what I wanted to mention to you is I've had contacts with former people that I've known, and I've shared that with them, and two of them so far have said to me, "You need to write a book." And I never even thought of ever doing anything like that, because I don't feel like I have that kind of skill. But I have really felt, the more I've looked at this, that is something God may want me to do. So my prayer request is just pray that God will give me the wisdom and the insight and the ability to be able to put that in writing in a way that will be helpful for people. And the other thing I thought I'd just mention to you to think about is keep your eye open for the word heart. Several of the songs we sang this morning, the word heart was in it. And just be more aware of what really goes on in the heart. And I think that's why Proverbs 4:23 is important, because Solomon says, keep and guard your heart with all diligence. It's an important thing to make sure that what's going on in your heart is what God is desiring for your life. So those are the things that I wanted to share with you this morning, and I thank you for allowing me to share them with you, and I'd like to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are so beyond anything we fully understand. We just give you thanks. We give you praise. We worship you. We love you. We desire for you to do whatever you desire to do in our lives. And so, Father, I just thank you for the privilege of sharing these truths with my brethren here and pray that you will help them individually to allow you to guard their hearts and help them to walk daily in your presence for your glory. And I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.